Welcome to The Swing,
Canadian political analysis for a global audience. I'm Yaroslav Baran.
And I'm Heather Bakken. We are about to have the first Canadian federal budget in a year and a half. How important is it?
The federal budget is important for a couple reasons. First, in this case, the policy direction has been reset under a new prime minister, Mark Carney. And this budget will more specifically lay out the government's new agenda from a dollars and cents perspective. It's also important to the markets, which pay attention to the macro fiscal picture, you know, deficit level, debt, debt to GDP ratio, you know, and other fiscal anchors. So stability and continuity, that's what markets like to see. And that's why we have one of these every year, and we are overdue.
Who will the large expenditures send signals to?
Yeah, you know, budgetary allocations for specific expenditures, and there will be several categories of large expenditure. There'll be important signals to key industries. Think, you know, tariff hit industry relief packages, for example. They'll be important to allies. Think defense spending. They'll be important to trading partners. Think, you know, ports, pipelines, rail, compression terminals, you know. And they're also going to be important to the public service who administers or executes the agenda. So, like, what are the priorities and what do they have to work with?
How does the agenda come into play?
It's important to note that these things are ultimately really political documents. It's a sort of political economic throne speech containing a broad range of policy pursuits, whether or not they necessarily have an impact on the FISC. It's really an omnibus policy program filling the void from the olden days when we used to have a throne speech every year as a policy update. We don't do that anymore. So now the budget largely plays that role. So I guess my point here is it's something of a misnomer. Yeah, it does have fiscal projections, but it's really like an annual overall agenda refresh.
Okay, fair. How about we drill down into the nitty-gritty of the process, which you have expertise in from your previous life on the Hill, notably as chief of staff to the government whip and chief of staff to the government house leader. What say you?
The real budget process, I would argue, isn't so much the quote-unquote budget document, the thing we're getting on November 4th, but rather a series of other related activities. The supply or appropriation cycle, the ways and means process, and the budget implementation bills. That's the nitty-gritty. And those will all also have their own votes. They'll have to be passed in separate moves later on.
That's a great start. So we have the signaling, we have the politics, and we have the process. Can you walk us through those three things?
Sure. Let's start with supply. The November 4th, quote-unquote, budget, when it's being voted on, doesn't actually approve the expenditures and the budgeting for government operations. The three votes over the next couple of weeks are just on a simple motion to accept the overall budgetary direction of the government of Canada. And yeah, that's a confidence vote. And we'll talk about the politics of it separately, I guess. It isn't a one vote thumbs up to billions of dollars of expenditure. That is done through the supply process. Three times a year, June, December, and March, when Parliament votes on the so-called estimates, line by line item envelopes of money to each and every government department and agency. They're broken down by programs, grant envelopes, operational costs, salaries, etc. That's the real budget process. And it happens three times a year, separately from the drama of quote unquote budget day.
Okay, well, what about the ways and means and implementation bills?
Okay, let's start with ways and means. Any tax changes, I mean, technically any tax increases, but it's evolved for optics and PR benefit over the years to really be any tax changes. They require a special vote called a ways and means vote. It's a motion really for, it's a motion for the people, Parliament, to authorize the Crown government to levy taxes. And this principle conceptually has its origins in the Magna Carta, you know, back in 1215. You know, the government just can't raise taxes at will. Taxation requires consent from the people. It's an early check on the royal prerogative that, you know, continues to this day. So then once a Ways and Means motion or a tax motion is passed, then the government has the official green light to introduce legislation based on that Ways and Means motion. And then when that legislation passes, that legally affects a tax change. And also, this is a bit of a quirk of procedure. Unlike anything else legislative, Ways and Means motions are actually effective from the moment they are tabled in the House of Commons, not when they are passed.
Why is that? Doesn't that go against the principle of popular consent or authorization?
Yeah, kinda, but it's a technical workaround. Picture, and you know, this is only a semi-apocryphal scenario because versions of this have happened in the past. So picture scenario where the easiest taxes to raise politically are sin taxes, you know, tobacco, alcohol, things like that. So you table a Ways and Means motion, you're saying you're going to raise taxes on alcohol and tobacco. Now, you don't want a period between the announcement and when it actually goes into effect, or else people are going to go out and stockpile those things before the price goes up. You get runs on stores, you get market disruption, and so on.
So to avoid
that, the tradition emerged that these things are deemed effective right away, contingent, of course, upon subsequent legislation that eventually closing the loop. And that legislation would then later contain a retroactive effective date going back to the date of tabling. So it's kind of cute. It's kind of a loophole, but it's designed to create market stability.
Market stability is something we're craving right now. How about the budget implementation legislation?
Yeah, that's the third big component of this whole process. Budget Implementation Acts, or BIAs, as we call them in the hood, are the legislation that gives effect to anything unveiled on November 4th that requires statutory approval. So, for example, standing up a new government agency, think, you know, Build Canada Homes, for example. You can't just pour a new government agency out of a blender. They require machinery of government legislation to officially create them. So that kind of stuff is usually contained in these omnibus bills and anything else that needs legislation. So like omnibus amendments to existing statutes to pave the way for the new government program kind of thing.
Will you explain the types of bills that there are for our listeners who may not know?
Yeah, BIAs, they're always omnibus bills. They're very thick, they're very comprehensive, and we typically see two of them per year. Traditionally, when we had spring budgets, we'd see BIA 1 in the spring, containing the more urgent stuff as well as the lower hanging fruit. And then BIA 2 would come in the fall, the less urgent stuff or the more complex stuff that required technical consultation or intense legal scrubbing or intergovernmental negotiation or whatever else that required a little bit more time.
This year's different though, right? Because we've reset the budget cycle.
Yeah, we've flipped the budget cycle. Budgets are now permanently going to be tabled in the fall. So I would expect BIA 1, you know, the quick hits and urgent imperatives, to be this fall, passed by Christmas, and BIA 2, you know, the longer term and more complex stuff, to come in the spring and pass by Jean-Baptiste Day in the House and by Canada Day in the Senate.
What if they don't pass? We've heard Government House Leader Steve McKinnon has been saying there could be an election, a Christmas election, if the opposition parties don't pass the budget. And of course, Ottawa is abuzz about all of this. It's high drama on the Hill. What's your assessment?
First, let me say it. There won't be an election this fall. I will eat my shirt if I'm wrong.
Okay, well, you better wash it just in case.
Yeah, the budget vote will pass. No election is going to pass.
Okay, well, now that we're in World Series season, how do you know the opposition parties will play ball? We've all been following the drama and the turmoil that has been 2025. The Conservatives have said they can't support anything with a deficit larger than $42 billion, but that number is projected to be around $70 billion due to increases in defense spending, tariff relief measures, major home building projects, and big ticket infrastructure items. The Bloc Québécois has said they won't support it without major new transfers to the provinces, which means Quebec, and a big enrichment of the old age security fund. And the NDP is recovering from the decimation they faced for supporting the previous government with Justin Trudeau. My guess is they won't want to repeat that. So where will the votes come from? So you don't have to eat your shirt.
Look, there are two possibilities. You know, the government, the Liberals, they only need an additional 3 votes. So, and that's if we have full attendance on vote day. So maybe there will be some loose fish who break ranks from an opposition party and vote for it. That's one scenario. It's possible, but I wouldn't necessarily hold my breath for that outcome. Another scenario, which I think is the most likely, is what I'd call the bathroom break maneuver. All the opposition parties vote against it for their own reasons, but somehow, coincidentally, you know, 2 MPs happened to be in the bathroom during the vote. Another one was back in Winnipeg tending to a son's broken wrist. A 4th one was back in Montreal taking their daughter to a critical soccer tournament. A 5th couldn't miss their kid's important recital. Heather.
Sounds like you have something more behind that.
Yeah. Like, I'll tell you a little story. You know, back when in previous lifetime, when I was chief of staff to the government whip, you know, we were responsible for managing votes, make sure you have the numbers, know who's where, know who's, you know, make sure everybody votes. And before every vote, I would circulate a memo to my counterpart in all the other parties. So I'd list all the votes that are going to be happening that evening. And I'd, you know, there'd be a column for each party. So I'd fill it out, you know, yes, 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 yes. And then I'd take it to the other parties one by one, and they'd fill out the grid. And then I'd give a copy of the completed grid to all the other whips offices. So in sort of a principle of cooperation, no surprises kind of thing. And it was a minority. It was a minority government. And I remember the first time that I got a vote grid back where there was a government bill and I saw yes in the government column and a no next to each other party. And I thought, sweet Jesus, we could actually lose a vote on a government bill. This is not good. This is not good. You know, so I, yeah, you know, alerted the whip, and we had a bit of a talk, and we, at the end, it's too late to do anything now. You got to see what happens.
Yeah.
The voting begins, and at the end of the vote, we won it. No problem. Yeah, there are about 20 MPs missing for different reasons. We had all of ours, but among the opposition, there was a whole bunch missing for various reasons, and it wasn't planned in that case. It just organically, we happened to win the vote, and it's normal for non-LLMPs to be there. So I think we're going to see some version of that play out.
Okay, but Yaroslav, today there's online voting. So is this going to require some kind of service provider outage, Wi-Fi?
No. It's you're right. I mean, that was before we had online voting that started with the pandemic. So the number of absences tends to be smaller now with online voting, but it's still pretty common to not have full attendance for votes. In this case, where like literally not a single party wants an election right now for all for their own reasons, there will be absences that allow the vote to pass. Every single Liberal is going to be in the House and they're all going to be voting. And they're just somehow organically, quote unquote, will be sufficient absences that it goes through.
Okay. So it seems like it's in everybody's interest to actually get the wheels in motion in a positive direction. Can you lay out the actual timing on all of this?
Yeah. There are 4 days of debate after a budget is presented. Day one will be on Wednesday, the day after the budget. And the other 3 will be scheduled by the government House leader. They don't necessarily need to be strictly sequential without intervening business, but usually they're pretty close together. So there's a vote on the main motion to accept the budgetary vision at the end of day 4. There's a vote on the conservative amendment to that motion at the end of day 3, and a vote on the Bloc Québécois sub-amendment at the end of day 2. The main motion is always intrinsically a confidence vote, always, unavoidable. The amendment is a confidence vote like 95% of the time. It doesn't have to be, you know, it technically depends on how it's worded, but it almost always is. Because it's, you know, the amendment is normally crafted to reject the government's agenda and then state the reasons why. The sub-amendment in spirit is kind of typically usually assumed to be a confidence vote, but, you know, it could really go either way, depending on how it's worded.
That sounds to me, we have 4 days, so that's like the best of 7. The World Series, people could be celebrating or feting the Blue Jays next Tuesday. What do you think the odds are of that?
people are still going to be paying attention to the budget, but yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice under these frost times, shall we say.
Well, thanks for the explainer, Yaroslav, and helping us understand how the whole thing actually works. This sets us up well for the main event starting Tuesday. Thanks again.
Yeah, my pleasure, Heather. Anytime you want to nerd out on procedure, just give me a call.
Okay, and go Jays!